You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. The conference took place in Washington, D.C. from October 25th through October 28th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Tony Mills, and I'm presenting information on the 96-week data from the Artemis trial, which was a treatment-naive trial looking at patients who were randomized to either receive boosted darunavir or boosted lopinavir, both in combination with tenofovir and FTC. And this was the 96-week data. We've seen the 24- and 48-week data previously. And what this data really showed was at 96 weeks, there did appear to be a statistically significant separation between the darunavir arms and the lopinavir arms, and with darunavir outperforming lopinavir at 96 weeks on the T-Lover analysis. The change there was probably driven by a couple of things. There were certainly there's some adverse event difference between the two groups. There were more adverse events in the lopinavir group. But there was also virologic differences that we saw, and that played out in the patients who had a greater than 100,000 viral load and patients who also had a lower CD4 count. There just appeared to be a virologic benefit to the darunavir over the lopinavir.
And could you talk about the percentages?
Yes. We got 79% of people undetectable, less than 50 copies. In the T-Lover analysis on the darunavir arm versus 71% in the lopinavir arms.
Uh-huh. And what were some of the side effects?
Both medications are pretty well tolerated. We saw more gastrointestinal side effects in the lopinavir arm. We saw a little bit of hyperlipidemia in both arms. It was pretty evenly distributed between the two groups. We looked at lipids themselves. The HDL and LDL were pretty comparable between the lopinavir and the darunavir arms. The triglycerides were higher in the lopinavir arm, again, as we would have expected.
So was there any difference from the 48-week analysis?
Yes. We showed non-inferiority at 48 weeks, but what we saw at the 96-week endpoint was that there was statistical significance as far as superiority.
Uh-huh. And do you think the side effects contributed to this?
I do think side effects contributed. You know, I think that not all side effects present themselves in the first 48 weeks of treatment. And sometimes patients have ongoing side effects that they're willing to tolerate, and then as time goes by, they become less and less tolerant of those things. I think, you know, overall, the thing I was most impressed about as an investigator was just that the boosted darunavir is an amazingly well-tolerated regimen. You know, a lot of the patients that I put on the trial were newly diagnosed. They had no experience with HIV in the past. And what they kept asking me was, why are you asking me about side effects? Why do I have to come back every 2 months? Because they just tolerated the medication regimen so incredibly well. So I think overall, for me, the tolerability really stood out as an investigator.
I know that darunavir was just approved by the FDA for first-line use. Do you think it's going to be soon when we see it in the guidelines?
I think we'll see it in the guidelines very soon. I think it's already in the IAS guidelines, and I think it's just a matter of time before it gets in all the guidelines. It's a great new agent to have in our armamentarium. You know, we have a lot of great new agents, so it'll be really exciting to see over the next couple of years how the treatment paradigm changes, whether PIs are going to continue to be our first-line agent, whether other agents will be first-line. But what this definitely gives us is a good, very effective, very well-tolerated, potent and durable PI to use as first-line therapy.
Okay, thank you.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2008.